Unit 9. Speaking in quotes. Section 1. Listening comprehension. 1. Listen to the following passages and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. The fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 did nothing to settle the debate about which model of social development is the best. Or, to be precise, the debate about whether the American model will continue to outdo all comers, or instead be replaced at the top of the economic heap by a rival.
2. You've heard of offsetting carbon. Well, how about offsetting dead seabirds? Many seabird populations are threatened because the birds end up as bycatch in commercial fishing nets. If restricting fishing fails, the last resort is usually to close fisheries. Now, two ecologists claim that a better way may be biodiversity offsetting, placing a levy on bycatch and using the money to pay for alternative conservation efforts.
3. In a speech to city grandees on June 20th, Gordon Brown, who will be prime minister, set out his plans for continuing the permanent revolution. He called for a national debate on how to make Britain world-class in education, and he promised to set up a new talking shop, a National Council for Educational Excellence, in which to have it.
4. We're not going to have a Jeffersonian democracy here, he added. The process will be bumpy. We'll have bad days and good days.
5. Bremer, appearing relaxed and in good humor, spoke in broad terms about the next phase of the U.S. occupation, a period that he predicted could bring a spike in violent attacks, as well as a U.S.-nurtured public debate over the shape of the new Iraq.
6. Atherosclerosis, commonly called hardening of the arteries, causes heart attacks and strokes, as well as ravaging many other of the body's organs. It is on the rise worldwide and threatens to become a major cause of death, disability, and loss of useful life years, not only in Western societies, but in the developing world. However, there is much that can be done to reduce the risk of suffering from this condition and its complications.
7. Although people cannot choose their parents or slow down the march of years, they can do a great deal to reduce their risk of atherosclerosis. First and foremost, by adopting a healthy lifestyle. Avoid being overweight, follow a prudent diet, and incorporate physical activity into your daily life, as this helps you avoid disorders of the blood fats, development of diabetes or prediabetes, and the onset or aggravation of high blood pressure. Moreover, do not smoke, or stop if you do.
8. Because the U.S. is a net oil importer, and a substantial one at that, concerns about energy security naturally raise foreign policy questions. One set of arguments is based on fears about dwindling global oil reserves and their increasing concentration in politically unstable regions. Those so-called peak oil worries have led some foreign policy analysts to call for increased U.S. efforts to stabilize, or alternatively, democratize, the politically tumultuous oil-producing regions.
9. While it is too early to say how long U.S. forces might stay and under what conditions, Bremer said he believed Iraqis would ask for an agreement based on security conditions in the country.
10. It's a question that really ought to be asked in 6 months. when we get through this very important crucial period, and let's see where we are, he said. My own guess is we're going to have an increase in violence over the next 6 months. The violence will be precisely because of the fact that we're building momentum towards success, Bremer said. 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. A furniture truck was driven by a suicide bomber at approximately 1:30 p.m. at Champion, Maine, 82nd Airborne Division Headquarters, in the vicinity of Ramadi, a statement said.
2. It is believed 3 Iraqis driving the vehicle were killed in the explosion, another statement said.
3. Many people were believed to be trapped under debris, state news media said, appealing for blood donations to help the wounded.
4. Although the extreme poverty rate in Africa has fallen from an estimated 46% in 1999 to 41% in 2004, that is still way off the 2015 target of 22%. Hunger and malnutrition still gnaw at the region. The proportion of under-fives who are underweight has declined only marginally, from 33% in 1990 to 29% in 2005. Despite dramatic gains, Africa will not meet the goal of universal primary enrollment either. The rate is up from 57% in 1999 to 70% in 2005.
5. Malta may be densely populated, 3 times more than the Netherlands, but its immigrant population is still tiny. Officials say they have no precise total, but their estimate is below 3,000. Fewer than the commonly touted figure of 7,000 arrivals since 2002, and less than 1% of the island's 400,000 population. Malta's EU partners could be forgiven for feeling that, as in other respects, the Union's southernmost member is just catching up with them.
6. China's demand for oil grew 10% in 2003, and it is expected to increase 6% this year, or the equivalent of 320,000 more barrels a day, according to the International Energy Agency. While the strain of coping with the growing thirst for oil may become evident in China's energy infrastructure this year, oil exporters are toasting the emergence of an important market.
7. Late in 2002, in an initiative dubbed More Research for Europe, European heads of government declared that the region should boost its industrial R&D to ensure future competitiveness and social well-being. The bureaucrats want to see Europe's R&D investment rise from its current 1.9% of GDP to 3% by 2010, and industry, they say, should provide most of that extra investment.
8. Concern about the pension system is one reason why consumer spending is not rising in Japan, hobbling the nation's economy, according to economists at JP Morgan Securities, Asia, and Nomura Research Institute. Since 1998, annual growth in consumer spending has slowed to half the pace of the preceding 5 years.
9. Consumers have so far been missing in Japan's recovery from its third recession since 1991. Japan's $4 trillion annual economy expanded for a 6th quarter in the 3 months to September 30th, growing 0.3%, increased exports and capital spending by companies accounted for all the growth, countering a 0.1% decline in consumer spending.
Ten. Rising overseas sales are not stopping companies, including Sony, from cutting jobs to spur earnings. Japan's economy lost 190,000 jobs in November, a report said. The unemployment rate held steady at 5.2%, close to a record 5.5%, because 210,000 people gave up looking for work. 2. Reading. Light heavy lifters. Prompt. Nanotechnology is one of the frontiers of contemporary science and progress is being made almost daily. The text reports on the latest development of research in this fascinating area. It describes how scientists have found ways to manipulate the movements of tiny matters and make them do useful work. The way the author presents these findings also shows that high tech need not be unfathomably difficult to understand. Science can be fun and with a touch of humor. Nanotubes of various sorts may provide the building blocks of the brave new world of nanotechnology that the field's true believers envisage developing over the next few years. Such believers think that it will be possible to build complicated nanoscale devices, i.e., mechanisms whose components have dimensions measured in nanometers or billionths of a meter. But if such machines are to be built, something will be needed to put those components together. Fortunately, the believers have an answer to this puzzle. They envisage the heavy lifting, or rather the light lifting, being done by modified versions of natural molecules called motor proteins. These proteins are what give muscles their pulling power, make sperm strong swimmers, and even drag the chromosomes in a dividing cell out of each other's way. Motor proteins work by pairing up with other tiny structures called microtubules. Just as the teeth of a gear fit into a bicycle chain, by fixing tubules to a glass sheet or similar substrate, it is possible to get the motors to walk along them. Alternatively, fixing the motors to the substrate causes them to pass the tubules overhead, rather like a conveyor belt. This sounds promising, but until recently there was no way to vary the direction of movement or to load and unload the stuff being transported. However, work published over the past few months showed that progress toward a nanoscale construction site is slowly being made. The first breakthrough was by Richard Superfine of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and his colleagues. They have devised a way to direct the flow of microtubules. The motor proteins and tubules are deposited onto a glass substrate, which has two wires on it, arranged as a cross. When the electricity is passed through the wires, the motors pile the tubules up wherever the electric field is strongest. The tubules also align themselves with the direction of the field. This suggests it will be possible to move and direct tubules using a mesh of wires by switching the current in different wires on and off to produce stronger and weaker electric fields in particular places. Natural motor proteins, unfortunately, are often temperamental. In particular, they dislike excessive heat. That problem has been overcome by Bruce Bunker at Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dr. Bunker and his colleagues have extracted a heat-tolerant motor protein from fungus, which lives in high-temperature environments. Indeed, this protein not merely tolerates high temperatures, but positively thrives in them. It passes microtubules along almost 10 times faster at 45 degrees Celsius than it does at 20 degrees Celsius. That provides a means of controlling the speed of motor protein conveyor belts, simply by varying the temperature. But being able to direct the flow of microtubules is not much use unless they can deliver a useful payload. To this end, Jonathan Howard and his colleagues at the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Cell Biology and Genetics in Dresden, Germany, have worked out how tubules can be used to transport, position, and stretch strands of DNA. Tubules and DNA strands are mixed together in solution, and biochemical processes are then used to attach one end of each DNA strand to a tubule and the other end to a class sheet. By positioning the tubules in particular ways, it is possible to arrange the DNA strands precisely. These strands can be used as templates to lay down other materials or can be chemically modified to give them useful electrical properties. Finally, there is the question of fixing nanoscale components together so that they can form actual machines. Dr. Howard, together with Henry Hess of the University of Washington in Seattle, has devised a way to transfer tiny plastic beads from a moving microtubule to a fixed one. He does this by crashing the first tubule into the second, bending the latter double, and causing it to bond with the bead. The first tubule then continues on its way. Plastic beads are commonly used in nanotechnology research to carry substances around on their surfaces. So this approach could be employed to deliver specific materials to particular places when needed. Collectively, these results demonstrate that researchers are inching, or perhaps nanometering, towards general-purpose nanoscale construction techniques. Nanotechnology, after all, is a field where progress is measured in tiny steps.